الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى والدين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. وقال سيدنا مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أصدق حديث كتاب الله وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد فيقول الله تبارك وتعالى وإذا قضيتم مناسككم فاذكروا الله كذكركم آباءكم أو أشد ذكرا. Our brothers and sisters in Islam, our praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala عما يقولون علوا كبيرا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is often, if not all the time, far above what people ascribe to him. His power is far above what the average person could even imagine. Like Allah says in Quran, مَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِي, that they have not esteemed Allah in his proper estimation. This is why we take a certain position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that of a servant to the master. We take the position of the slave. We take the slave position when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We take the slave position when it comes to his caring for us. We take the slave position when it comes to the regulation of our own affairs. We take the slave position. This is why so many exhortations in the Kitab and in the Sunnah reinforces that. Like tawakkul ala Allah, depending on Allah, belief in Allah, al-inaba ila Allah, returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taqwa of Allah. Allah should be the center of your universe. It should be the center of your life. Somebody asked me a question about love the other day. Like, we love our spouses. So the question was, if your spouse asks you, well, do you love me more than Allah? That's a deep question, right? But the answer should be no. You have to love Allah most. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدَّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Those who believe love Allah the most. Now, as you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you get closer to him, then there's other unseen occurrences that happen that reinforce you as a human being, reinforces your equilibrium, reinforces your faith, makes your faith stronger, makes you more steadfast in everyday things. Now, when we're talking about emotional and psychological disorder, and I was just looking again through the DSM book to see all these diagnoses. psychological and what I would say spiritual, but they call emotional illnesses, and so many of them goes back into lack of knowledge of the true self. You have to know who you are. Imam Ghazali said, know yourself first, therefore you will be able to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't know yourself, you won't be able to know or understand Allah at all. And if you don't understand Allah, you won't be able to worship Him and praise Him and access Him in the proper way. And if you don't do that, there's other psychological and emotional forces that are unleashed upon you. This is what we have to understand. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the unseen. You have to understand the unseen forces. And even when you talk about psychology, it's funny how people, on the one hand, you know, want to put down our belief in the unseen. We believe in the akhirah. We believe in the sirat. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in His power. But when you talk about psychology, there's no empirical evidence that can diagnose anybody's psychological condition. There's nothing seen. There's nothing chemical. They just look at the behavior. Now, in Islam, we take it a step further. We look at the behavior and we can disclose spiritual imbalances. For example, Allah says in the Quran, وَيَقَتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. He says, and they used to kill the prophets without just cause. Right? This is what some of the Bani Israel, many prophets were killed by their people, persecuted by their people. Why would, you know, how do you diagnose that? Allah says, وَيَقَتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. And they kill the prophets without just cause. That is because, ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا, because they disobeyed. وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ, and they used to transgress. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that, okay, disobedience and transgression leads you to murder. That's what he say, you know, people start off with crimes. When they look at, when they try to profile criminals, they look at the type of crimes. Well, no, his crimes are just petty crimes. Oh, he used to do petty crimes, but now he moved up to greater crimes. He moved up to violent crimes. Now he moved up to murder. Most murderers, they have a rap sheet of other crimes that they used to. ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. So this is how we diagnose spiritual illness or psychological illness. It all goes back to lack of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because once you do that, see, everything, you know, one thing in physics is they say for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. Well, that is true. That law is true. Every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. If you do a good deed, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشُرُ أَمْثَالُهَا. You do a good deed, you get 10 times its worth. You repent, for example, that's an action. Allah says, O you who believe, تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَسُوحًا. O you who believe, make repentance to Allah, a sincere repentance. Now, what happens when somebody repents? What's the action that happens once they do that? Well, when you repent, like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, at-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba la. The person who repents from a deed is like he has no sins. That you remove the spiritual and emotional effect that cumulative sins have on you. Doesn't mean you're not going to sin again. You may sin again. But at least you've renewed your soul for that period. When people have deep-seated emotional imbalances, when a person contemplates suicide, they don't just one thing happen and say, oh, I want to kill myself. No. It's a litany of things that occur over time that leads to them to that sense of desperation that now I feel all hope is lost. This happened. Now this happened. And I lost my job. And I lost my friend. Or I lost this. And I had a loved one lost. And, oh, I'm not pretty enough. Or I'm not handsome enough. Or I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. People don't like me. Now, each one of those steps could have been mitigated by something in archetype. But if that goes unserviced, then you get to that point. The thing that catches people the most of all emotional disorders, the quickest is anger. Anger doesn't have to be built up. Anger is what's called nuzzled. Like Allah says, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Right? Anger. Now, anger is different. Anger, you can be calm. Everything. This guy is making salat and everything. And it can hit you. Because anger is different from other emotional disorders. It's sudden. Anger is sudden. It's a sudden feeling. Even when bad things happen to somebody, you lose a lost one, you lose a loved one. You know, you don't just go into full depression right away. It's over time. Oh, I'm sad. Wow. First you're shocked. Whoa, subhanAllah, mashallah. Oh, didn't you really miss that person? Oh, yeah, you know, you think about that person. And you can go into depression. Even though there's a cure for that. Right? Like Allah says in Quran, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. What? Those people that when they are befalled by a calamity, قَالُوا, they say what? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Verily we are from Allah, and verily we shall return to Allah. Now, what happens when you do that? We talk about, what, does action equal opposite reaction? أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. For those people, upon them is a salawatun, which is good mention. That means Allah is talking good about you amongst the heavenly hosts. That's what salat means from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't pray for anybody. We pray to Him. It's like in the verse where it says, Inna Allaha wa malaikatuhu yasalluna ala nabi. Verily Allah and His angels yasalluna ala nabi. Pray upon the Prophet. Well, when it comes to the Malaika, it's istighfar. They ask for forgiveness. When it comes to Allah, that means that He mentions the Prophet. He mentions him. And when Allah is mentioning you, this is what I'm saying now. When Allah is mentioning you, that alone produces another shield upon you that nobody sees. So Allah says, فَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ يَذْكُرُكُمْ. Remember Allah, and He remembers you. When you mention, this is why, of all the psychological problems, whether it's paranoia, whether it's bipolarism, whether it's schizophrenia, whether it's anger, any sort of emotional imbalance, that any one of us has, can be mitigated and lessened through dhikrullah. remembrance of Allah. Like we just said, how you mention Allah, He mentions you. Allah says, "إذا قرأت القرآن جعلنا بينك وبين الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة حجابا مستورا." SubhanAllah. Allah says, when you recite the Quran, we create between you and between those people who don't believe in the hereafter, hijab and mastura, a hidden shield. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, one of our great scholars of Islam, he said that there's two types of shaitan that you have to deal with. One is shaitan al-ins, shaitan of human devils, and the other one is jinni devils. He says the way you deal with human devils is by off. Like, it's okay. You have to almost ignore them. You know, that's why Allah says in the Quran, right? Rijal al-Rahmani, الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبُهُمْ وَجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. He says, the men of the merciful who walk humbly upon the earth. وَإِذَا خَاطَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And when the ignorant people talk to them, they say salam. So when you get that human devil messing with you, you have to turn away. You don't want to go. Or, he says, you idfa billati hiya ahsan. You come back with something better. They're talking ignorant to you. So-and-so, so-and-so. Or maybe it's somebody who's an anti-Muslim. Because that's what seems to be common with people. I hate Muslims. Okay, would you like a sandwich with that? You see? See, they don't know how to come back off of that. Infallibility, asan. But human shayateen, because you see them, you know how to avoid it. But it's the hidden ones who are our biggest problems. The ones that sneak in. They sneaky. And that's when they do the nuts with the anger. You know, with your anger, you just get mad all of a sudden. What? Ha! Right? That's called a nazgh. That's called a nazghun. Allah mentions in the Quran. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَ مَنْ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغُن. It's like a pinch. It's like he grabs you. You know? Ibn Qayyim also says, you know, there's three different ways shaitan that, you know, has impact on people. One is by jahl, ignorance. Ignorance of religion. If you're ignorant of faith, he gonna mess with you. If you're ignorant of your faith, shaitan gonna mess with you. Because even if you're sincere, he's gonna still play with you. He's gonna do stuff to ruin your life, to cause you problems, because you're not accessing the guidance. You become like the person Allah says, مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل حمار يحمل أسفارا. Says that the similitude of those people who used to carry the Torah, then they stopped carrying it, is like the similitude of a donkey carrying books on his back. You don't want to be like that. He's going to mess with you. The second thing is hawa, your whim. A lot of emotional imbalances are in that. Your whim. Meaning, Allah saying this, Prophet saying this, but no, you think you got the answer. You want to do your way. Man, that's the way I've been getting down on my life. Well, that's why you're still having that problem. You know? Man, that's how I grew up, man. You know? That happened during the time of Prophet too. They used to say, "Inna wajatna aba'ana ala ummatin wa inna ala atharihim la muqtadun." He said, "Verily, we have found our forefathers doing a certain path, and we're just going to follow that." Because you're stuck now. Because Allah brings, see, when Allah brings this guidance, when He brings the kitab, it's nur, it's light. It's light in order ليخرج الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات من الظلمات إلى النور. To take those people who believe and do righteous deeds out of the many dhulumat, many pits of darkness, to the one light. That's what it does. So the more enlightened you are, the more sane you become as a human being, let alone a Muslim, the clearer your vision. Dhikrullah is the biggest thing, because it just has an overwhelming effect as a whole. Recitation of Quran, for example. A lot of times when husband and wives are fighting in the house, there's a lot of stuff going on. It begins in your house. It's jinns living in your home. And most of the time, they're living there because you've created a comfortable environment for them to be there. Jinns like places where Allah's name is not mentioned. That's why the Prophet ﷺ says, he says, don't make my grave into a shrine, and don't make your houses into graveyards. The house wherein the name of Allah is not mentioned is like a graveyard. And jinns like graveyards. That part is true. They like grave sites. They like abandoned places. Many times when there's turmoil in your home, it's because Iblis is living in your house. He set up camp. So there's things you do. One of the greatest things you can do in your home is recite Surah Al-Baqarah. We know from the Sahihain, Sahih Bukhari was Muslim, that if a person recites Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah in the Quran, in your house, all the shayateen, they leave for a week. It creates a shield for a whole week. They're like, okay, that Baqarah is still... So what happens if you recite Surah Al-Baqarah every week? You keep a lot of the jinns outside of your house. Another thing we know from the sunnah is the adhan. Certain things have an effect upon jinn, like kryptonite. Baqarah. Ah. Baqarah was taken, Surah Baqarah and Ali Imran was taken from a treasure under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sent them down separate with Jibreel. That's why they argue before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment against those who memorize those surahs and act according to those surahs. Even the Prophet ﷺ, when they would bury people during some of the battles, when they had to bury people in multiple graves, he would always say, which one who knew more Quran? Who knew more of this, knew more of that? And then somebody said, well, he knew Baqarah. Oh, put him in. He would take precedence. Called the adhan. You have nightmares? Everybody have nightmares? People have nightmares. A lot of people, you know, the nightmares, I can't tell you how many people come to me and say, man, I had this nightmare. And man, they so scared of this nightmare. I think it's going to happen to me. I have a nightmare. Okay, all right. Let me tell you something. Dreams are three different types. That's it. There's no fourth. The three different ways of dreaming. Sometimes it's mixed in, but it's only three different sources of dreams. One is ru'yatu salihah, true dreams. True dreams. They're more likely if you're truthful. The Prophet ﷺ said the person who is the most truthful, he has the truest dreams. True dreams. When you dream something, that's factual. Something is going to happen. You dream something about something, and what you dream is the truth. That's called a ru'ya salihah. That's one. Number two is hadith al-nafs. Stuff is on your mind. You know, you got stuff going on. You're thinking about it, you're worried about it, your job, whatever, your family, whatever it is. And you dream about it, because it's on your mind. That's called hadith al-nafs. that happens. The third type, which is where nightmares come from, is Shaitan playing with you. He's playing in your head while you're sleeping. Here's how that happens. He has gained access to your dream. He has access to your dream. He's playing with you. He's scaring with you. He's using your fears. He's making you think this. He's making you think this. Now, the access could have been started by something that happened, something you watched on television, something you did, a sin you did and you didn't atone for. You ever hear people who come from Iraq and different places and say, I have nightmares, I'm just living again, again, again. Yeah. Something horrible that they did. Not just that, but people do horrible things. It's in your mind. You have to make toba. You have to free yourself of that. It still bothers you, but you have to get back with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You haven't done it. You just, that's how people, a lot of people go into addiction because of that. Because what he did was so horrible. And Shaitan said, yeah, you can't, how you gonna repent now? He's whispering, ain't no repenting now. You need to drink this off. That's how people get into addictions. So how do you deal with nightmares? Dhikrullah. In the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was distributing the sadaqat. And a man came while he wasn't looking and was sticking his hand in the bag of the sadaqat. And he caught him. And he said, man, I'm going to take you to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to handle this. And he said, no, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, and he begged him. So he let him go. So he came out another night, he was distributing sadaqat, and the man came digging in the bag. So he called him again, said, man, I'm taking you to the Prophet now, man. For trying to steal the sadaqat out the bag. The man said, no, please, I'm begging you. I really needed it. And he gave him an excuse, and Abu Huraira let him go. The third time, he called him, he said, man, we definitely going to the Prophet ﷺ this time. And the man said, wait a minute. I'm going to teach you something, that if I teach you this, the devil will never mess with you at night. He won't come into your dreams. It'll prevent access of the shaitan to your dreams. Right? So, of course, Abu Huraira, that kind of get anybody's attention. What are we talking about? So he taught him Ayatul Kursi. Ayatul Kursi. I think it's 255. Verse 255 in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه and so on. Right? So Abu Huraira took that piece of knowledge and he went to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, Ya Rasulullah, and he told him this story of what happened. So the Prophet said, the man that came to you, that was shaitan. That was the devil. And he's a liar. But even though he's a liar, he told the truth in that case. So when somebody has problems with their dreams, right? And some medication, this is why I'm against you becoming dependent upon psychotropic drugs. One of the first things they tell you about medications that to make you feel better is one of the first things they tell you on the label, nightmares. This is a side effect. You may have nightmares. You may have feelings of a depression. You may have feelings of suicide. That's a big one. Watch the TV when they advertise these mood-altering drugs. It's by law. They have to tell you the possible side effects. Now, one of the common side effects is nightmares, depression, and feelings of committing suicide. This is another way for Shaitan to entrap you, because now you become dependent on the doctor to feel good. I need these drugs so I can feel good. He said, I'm going to give you the drugs. It may make you want to commit suicide, though. This is going to cause some problems, but you'll feel good. That's why we prefer dhikrullah. Now, I'm not making fun of anybody who suffers from any psychological problems, but I'm telling you, most of your psychological and emotional problems, they're actually spiritual problems. And dhikrullah will mitigate most of them. The salams mitigates a lot of things. Saying Bismillah Rahman Rahim when you eat mitigates a lot of problems in the home. We know for a fact it does that. If you talk to people who remember Allah a lot and talk about Him, they're not the people who we look at and say, man, this is weird, dude. That's weird. Even your Aunt Mary says, yeah, but God is good. God. You know, they always a little bit more balanced in their life. Gratefulness. So you have to use certain types of dhikrs. There's dhikrs to remove fear. The Prophet, some said, if one of you fears fear in his heart, you're afraid, like a dark place. You get where it goes, dark, I don't know, I'm afraid. You say, "A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi at-tammat min sharri ma ajid wa uhadhir." You say that 7 times. I seek refuge in the complete words of Allah from the evil that I find. From the evil that I find, and I'm seeking refuge. I'm seeking safety. That helps remove the fear from your heart. Another one, if you're worried about this is going to happen, you say, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. Yeah. That's a good one. I use that one myself a lot. Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. It means Hasbi Allah, Allah is sufficient for me, and He's the best agent. So it's, oh, this is going to happen. Oh, I don't know. Hey, you know, you might not make it. You might not. Okay. Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. I gave it to Allah, man. I've done that and said, Allah, listen, I'm putting my trust in you. In this affair, I'm going to make me some dinner. I'll talk to you in the morning. Allah will take it. That's why it says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَقَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Going back into the cause and effect again. Whoever depends on Allah, it's sufficient for him. Now, I'm not saying that you'll never have a fear again. People will have fears. You'll never have a worry again. Worry is part of the human condition. We will have worries. But what I'm saying is that there are things to say and to do that if you say these things and you do these things, it'll help to mitigate the fear and the worry you have. So it comes down to a manageable level, not to a manic level. Some people are so afraid. I'm afraid to go out the house. They got a name for that. I'm afraid to be around people. I don't know. I'm freaking out. I had a panic attack. Why? Because people. Okay. All right, man. You got to remember the hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Al-Muslim alladhi yakhtalitu binasi wa yasbir ala adahum khayrun min al-Muslim alladhi la yakhtalitu binas wa la yasbir ala adahum. He says that the Muslim who mixes with people and is patient with their ills is better than the one who doesn't mix with people and not patient with their ills. So you got to mix with everybody. No. But you have to use Kitab and Sunnah. Use the Afqar. The prophet used to have what he said before he went to bed. This is a powerful joint right here, though. It's really strong. You actually feel it when you do it. You actually feel it in your body. It's the last three surahs of the Quran. قُلْ هُوَهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. You recite 1, 2, 3. And you blow in your hands 3 times. Like that. And you wipe it over your body. Starting with your head, your right side. And when you do it, you're going to feel a little tingle. Like, whew. I'm telling you. But it shields you. It shields you from the eye. It shields you from evil incantations. It shields you from the effects of jealousy, the effects of people wishing you bad, bad omens. And you sleep well too. And it also is good for healing. It's good for headaches. It's good for aches and pains. It's a really good one. The prophet used to love that one so much. He loved it so much and did it so much that when they gathered the Quran into one book during the time of Abu Bakr, the companions differed with one another as to whether or not Qul Huwallahu Ahad and Falaq and Nas was part of Quran, or was it just a ruqya, incantation? Some Sahaba said, no, that's not Quran, that's just a ruqya, because he used it so much. So some said, no, that's a ruqya too, but it's Quran. They differed, and they finally agreed that this is part of the kitab. So brothers and sisters, that's how you have to live. You have to self-medicate yourself using Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, using the sunnah. Because now you're walking in spirit. You're walking in faith. You're not walking in worry. If somebody says something about you, it may bother you, but it's not going to bother you that much. Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. Do you want a sandwich? You take it differently. You know, like there's another thing to say. Qul, lan tusibuna illa ma kataballahu lana huwa maulana. Nothing will happen to us except what Allah has already written. He's our protector. So someone says, yeah, if you go there, it's going to be bad. You ain't going to make it back. Brother, you going to run gas, cars, anyone? Listen. Lan tusibuna illa ma kataballahu lana. The only thing that happened to us is what Allah has written. Wa hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. Any one of the different dua. Learn adhkars. Learn dhikr. Read Quran in your home. If you can't read it, play it on the tape. When you get up in the morning, say the dua of getting up in the morning. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyani ba'dama amatani. Praise be to the one who's given me life after he's taken, it's called me to die. There's so many things. But if you enshroud yourself with a variety of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recitation and dhikr for this, you get in the car, you remember Allah. You get out the car, you go into the bathroom. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wa khaba'ith. I seek refuge in you from male and female jinns. And scholars differ as to what khubthi wa khaba'ith mean. But you say that going in. You're coming out of the bathroom. Ghufranaka. Forgiveness, ya Lord. Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba anni al-adha wa afani. Praise to the one who has removed the impurities from me and made me well. See, when there's dhikr going on in your life, it's really difficult for shayateen, whether it be jinn or mankind, to penetrate you. They might slip in, here and there. Like the third type of way shaitan comes to you, according to scholar Ibn Qayyim, is what they call, is he gets you like mafajatan, he slips in, he just caught you off guard. So, but you want to make it that's how shaitan catches you. I slip from it. Okay, he got me. Not that he's just playing with you. Not that he's playing with you every day. That's what happens with people who have these psychological illnesses that don't treat it with the right type of treatment. He plays with you. Sometimes he plays with you in the treatment. Yeah, you can come back next week to get more drugs. Come back next week. He's playing. He's playing with that person. Wallahu a'lam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al-muslimin min kulli dhanbin wa astaghfirullah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Brothers and sisters, my advice for us also have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, O you who believe, اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل وإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله عظيما يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيم الصلاة يرحمكم الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي الصلاة حي الصلاة قمت الصلاة قمت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.